The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga, our podcast version. We're at the beginning of July and still in the COVID period here. Skidmore Radio is still off the air. And hopefully we'll be back on in the fall, but you never know with what's going on with COVID and come the fall with the school being all up in the air yet. And we know college is going to go back, but their season's going to start a little bit earlier. But in any case, we'll be doing podcasts and putting them up on our Saratoga Broadcasting podcast page. So and we're telling people about that. But I'd like to welcome our guest this morning, who is no stranger to either the podcast shows that we do or Talk Saratoga, and that is Kim Weir. Good morning, Kim.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's great to be here.
And for those that don't know, Kim is from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And I don't know if you want to give a recap of what, again, Kim, what the foundation is. And then I'd like to talk about a little bit about what you did with the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation over the COVID.
Sure. Well, I always love a chance to tell our story, at least the quick snapshot of who we are and what we do. I have the great honor of speaking for the horses. That is my role for the TRF. That is what all of us on the team do. And we speak for a very special group of horses. They are all retired thoroughbred racehorses. Our mission is to save those horses who can no longer compete on the race course from possible neglect, abuse, and slaughter. So it is what's called a thoroughbred aftercare organization, and we take care of the horses when their careers are done. We have the unique honor of being the first. We are the oldest of the charities that do this. That also means that we have the honor of being the largest. We currently take care of over 500 retired thoroughbreds living all across the country in 15 farms in 9 states, and each one of them with a story that is what gets us up in the morning to tell those stories. So we are based here in Saratoga Springs. We love being on Talk Saratoga because we are very much a part of this community. It's an exciting time of year in this community, as strange as it may be. Those horses are on their way back to Saratoga. They're in the barns now, and the vans are rolling up 87 day by day. Yeah. So we are here.
The Oklahoma track is in full fledge, and they're training again on the main track. We're in full bloom, as you said, but it's a different flower.
Mm-hmm. Nicely said.
Yeah, than it's ever been. But the TRF still had to be in full force during the pandemic, correct?
Yep.
I mean, it's like it's like the agriculture industry.
Yes.
I mean, farmers don't get a day off.
They sure don't.
And
no.
The horses don't either.
No, the horses don't give you a day off, that's for sure. So it's been a challenging time for everyone, but in our world, the horses keep it as normal as anything can be, because horses are unaware of all that the humans have been suffering for the last 4 months, and they still eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They still have needs for their hooves to be trimmed and their teeth to be taken care of, and that is our mission, is to take care of them. So they've really been sort of the drumbeat to keep our life as close to normal as it can be, and to really give all of us, especially me as a spokesperson, a story to tell that is sort of been, I think, a soothing comfort to a lot of people during COVID, is to just remind folks about the horses, whether it be sending a little video of a sanctuary farm in Kentucky or telling a story of what those horses are doing in our TRF Second Chances program. I think the main thing we've done in these 4 months has been to keep our stories out there, mm-hmm. both for the sake of our mission, which is to raise money to take care of the horses. Let's just be clear that is a critical need, and it doesn't change. But it's also been a real honor to tell a story that is one of hope, and it's one of sort of normal, and it's one of beauty and comfort, because that's what the horses bring. So sure. It's been a lot of talking, honestly, for the last 4 months. Not a lot of getting out of the house, but right. A whole lot of communicating by Zoom, by phone, by email, and yeah. That's what we've been up to.
Well, we talked a little bit about that before we went on. We were catching up on a lot of things because we haven't seen each other for so long, but we'll get into this more with the fundraiser you have coming up, but all charities have suffered because of COVID and people not being able to get together, and they have had to do a lot of the fundraising online, which is very difficult to do. Let's face it. I mean, it's very hard to do, not only because to get in touch with the people, which you have lists, so I'm sure you can get in touch with people, but then people are out of work, or they're caring for a family member, or they were sick or whatever. I mean, it's been a huge challenge for everything. Businesses that usually donated a lot weren't running their business, yeah. So they couldn't be as giving, and you understand that. So they've had to look at alternative ways. And one of the things that you mentioned with Zoom and that, I think one of the things, if there was a good thing that could come out of COVID, was that, there's a couple of them. One, couples had to spend more time together and got to know each other a little better. And it might be a little challenging at times, but I have to tell you, I've never had this much time off, never. And I mean, the most I take off is probably a week, a year. But I've enjoyed being home with my wife. We've had done a lot of projects outside the house, a lot in the house. And there's been a couple days where, you know, I've known to stay downstairs in my office a little bit more, but that, in a way, that's been good.
Yep.
It's also been good, as we talked about, in how you communicated with people you do business with. Mm-hmm. I'm on the board of the credit union in Saratoga, and we had our meetings with Zoom.
Sure.
So we were able to stay connected.
Yep.
To see each other, mm-hmm. do our business, and which we never did before. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you did the same thing in your industry, correct?
It was really an eye-opening experience to just be stopped in our tracks, which was the hard part, right? As we all came to a screeching halt, it was letting go of all those plans and all those things we thought we would do. And I have to just take one moment for your audience to say, I have such vivid memories of the last time I was sitting here with you, because one of the podcasts we did about our TRF volunteer program was, I think that was within hours of when the world came to an end. Yes. So it's so great to be back. But since then, you're so right. We've really leaned into how do we reach out to people. And even though, of course, as economic conditions change and as a fundraising organization, we have a lot of concerns. We know that the horses are relying on us and we need to keep fundraising. But we also have to be very sensitive to the fact, as you've mentioned, everyone was facing this differently. Everyone was having a different experience, and a lot of them were very difficult. So what we really focused on was education and storytelling and sharing. Specifically what I did was I put together a presentation called the TRF Second Chances Behind the Scenes and Virtual Tour, so that folks from all over the country, and really it was all over the country, could join me. And as the extrovert, I loved that because I got to see people and talk to people. But I could actually spend an hour going through the program in depth in a way that no one ever had time for, including myself, because who has time when we're running around and we're out and about? But when we all were stopped in our tracks, suddenly an hour on Zoom felt sort of like a break for everybody. I'll just sit here. Kim will yammer on. She'll get all excited and she'll tell me about these horses, and I'll see what prisons and horses look like in Illinois and Kentucky and New York and California. So I can't tell you, I think I ended up presenting that program to over 350 people over about 2 months. I talked a lot, which I loved. I recorded it a couple times so that I just have it. And, you know, that was like planting seeds in a garden. When you're a fundraiser, it is all about engaging. It's not necessarily about, hi, my name is Kim, can you give me a check? That doesn't work very well, I have learned. What you say, hi, my name is Kim, let me tell you what we do, and are you interested, and how can I answer your questions? At some point, I will come around and ask if you got that That's checkbook right. handy. Oh, yeah. Oh, but anyway, doing that was so much fun, and the connections and the follow-up conversations. And I guess what we really were given, even if we didn't think of it as a gift at the time, was we were given a lot of time, just like you and your wife and those projects.
Sure.
Bobby and I had very similar sort of discoveries. We had dinner together every single night. We took a walk at 5 o'clock every yes. night.
Yes. And it was amazing how many people you saw walking
yeah.
and
yeah.
that. And then as soon as things were settling down in that, I don't see anybody out in the neighborhood anymore.
Right.
I mean, the parents were out with the kids on their bikes. They would meet, you know, social distance and yep. meet in that. And now you don't see much
right.
of that anymore.
Everyone's doing errands again. It's like we had a break from errands. But, you know, that really, I believe that really was a gift that we were given for all of its challenges, because the folks that I had the chance to talk to, you know, those will be there forever. You can't put that genie back in the bottle. Those conversations, now that they've happened, they will, like seeds in the garden, they will grow. Different ones will bloom. Different ones I will harvest at different points. But it really was enriching. And it happened with outreach about the foundation. It also happened internally with our team. So our team is about 7 of us here in Saratoga, with one full-time colleague in Kentucky. And Sarah is our national herd manager. She has a great big job. She's technically responsible 24/7 for those 500 plus horses. And we always were in touch with Sarah, but now we do a staff call every Tuesday at 10, and we see Sarah and her baby every Tuesday. She feels better. We feel better. And it's sort of like you and your credit union. Why weren't we doing this all along? It's
right.
like that won't ever go away, that connectedness internally.
I think I met Sarah last year, didn't I? Wasn't she up for the meet?
She was. She came up for a couple days. Yes. So, yes, I make sure everyone meets you, Rick, because you are you are a linchpin there on in that clubhouse.
It's fun, I'll tell you. Although this year I won't be there. But,
and neither will I.
No,
so we'll be here.
Right. They didn't have as many posts open because of no fans. So some of the union guards took our spots, which is okay. I, you know, even though I'm not a big union person, I understand the function of it,
yep.
and I'm okay with that this year. But yeah, it's interesting the people you meet, and
yeah.
I know you met a lot of people up there, and of course I did too. It's a great spot. Now, when you know, I ask crazy questions.
Good, I love them
because I have. But do you have like a 10 or 15 minute video on the site about maybe somebody like filming the different areas that the horses are in, and then somebody in the background, you know, describing, you know?
Yes, sort of,
okay.
is my answer. So we have, we actually, one of the projects, sort of like everyone, I have to admit, Bobby and I did none of those house projects. The basement is still a disaster, but I did
yeah.
a lot
oh, yeah,
of work projects.
Yeah,
one of the ones that I'm kind of the most pleased with, because it will have the most lasting benefit, and it is essentially my answer to your question, is that the TRF has a YouTube channel, and we've had a YouTube channel forever, but this COVID time, I found a volunteer with the skills to help me get it organized, and we've been uploading all the videos that we've had for years in one place by theme. So there are videos about the Second Chances program. There's actually the presentation I was giving is now there on YouTube. So there's, I don't know if I have anything that's exactly 15 minutes. I have things that are an hour, and I have things that are 5 minutes, but there's a lot of good video that show the horses in all the different farms with the farm managers, with the inmates. And it was just one of those things that now that we have it organized, we can keep building on it and adding to it.
Yeah, and I mean, because I'll tell you, now, like myself, I'm on Facebook, and what I'd like to do is to put the link in one of my Facebook things and share it with my friends.
I'd love that, Rick.
Ask them to share it. So, but I think you can use Facebook like that, too. And
yes.
I think, you know, anybody that's on Facebook, if they would just share it, which, yeah, if you did that for one of the videos,
yep,
and you shared it with your friends and asked to share with their friends, it'd be amazing.
It's a ripple effect.
It would go all over.
It's really true. And one of the other little similar projects, we've launched our LinkedIn page for the TRF. We've always had a very active Facebook page and Twitter and Instagram, but I used to use LinkedIn in my old life all the time as more of a business platform. So now we have a LinkedIn page for the TRF, and every week I'm putting one of those stories. So to your point, I'm picking a video, putting it there.
Good.
And now I need to maybe put it on my page, and so that you can do that same thing, because it is really it's person to person is how we really move mountains, right? That's another thing we're all learning, is how interconnected we really are.
Exactly. And it's worldwide. And I mean, just not, you know, to the local area here, or the county. I mean, you're all over the world, can get that information out. And that's what we want. I mean, that's with anything. We want people to understand what we have to offer. Mm-hmm. And the TRF is certainly, I mean, I don't know anybody that doesn't love horses one way or the other. You may not like horse racing.
Right.
But on the other hand, you may have ridden a horse when you were young or whatever. I mean, and I think people are just connected with
horses. Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. It's profoundly, profound point there, Rick, is that it's pretty darn hard to find a person who's experienced a horse that wasn't impacted by that horse and in a positive way. Now, granted, everyone has a friend whose story is, oh, I was put on a horse when I was five and it ran off and I fell off and I never got on one again.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they're, and they may be a little bit afraid, but that isn't, no one doesn't like a horse. I'd like to think that.
It's like kids with a bike. You fall off a bike, the best thing to do is get back on the bike and ride around.
Yes,
well, indeed. You know, now you talk about how a horse has impacted, you know, people's lives in some way. Let's talk about a program that you have where it affects people's lives that you wouldn't think. Mm-hmm. And that's your prison program.
Yeah. Yeah,
which I'm always amazed at, but you've had something special happen too.
Yeah,
with that
one, even during COVID, and it's just I like to go ahead and use the word magic early and often when I talk about these horses, because they are magical in their ability to impact people. The connection of humans and horses is centuries long, thousands of years long, and that's where that magic comes from. But for us in the TRF, the flagship program that we run is called our TRF Second Chances Program. It is our prison program. And it is where we have horses living on Department of Corrections land on farms that are part of a correctional institution. And they are being cared for by inmates, most of whom have never touched a horse in their whole life. And they are in those programs as part of a vocational program that is teaching them skills that are useful when they exit. They are job-related skills. There's an instructor who is both the farm manager who knows how to take care of the horses, but is really teaching the inmates, men and women, how to do all the horse care, everything from feeding to cracking the ice on the water buckets when it's winter, to fixing the fences, to driving the tractors, holding the horses when the farrier comes. It's, as we said earlier, horses are 24/7 and they're 365. And one thing about thoroughbred racehorses is that they are also really good at getting into trouble and hurting themselves. Not, well, not on purpose, but it is what they're really good at. So this program is really special. And I am very biased, but I love that you're drinking my Kool-Aid with me here, Rick. So every day, this is part of what I say a lot, is that every day those horses are doing their job. They don't even necessarily wake up in the morning. They're kind of awake all the time. And they eat their breakfast and they go about their business in a very steady, constant way. So that is true also in the prisons, is that they are always there requiring care, waiting for the men and women to come out to feed them, and establishing these magical bonds with the humans. So while that's never ends and never changes, during COVID, it was even more important to us to say, look, the farm managers still show up every day. The inmates know they still have to go out there to feed the horses, to check on them. And it was a specific story that I appreciate the chance to tell, happened at our prison in Lexington, Kentucky. That's called the Blackburn Correctional Complex. It is our second oldest program in the country. We celebrated its 20th anniversary last year in 2019 with a big horse show, which was really fun. We actually kind of opened the gates of Blackburn and let people in. We did not let people out. We let a lot of people in, but we did not let anybody out because they would not welcome us if we did that. But so we did this big horse show and gathered a lot of media attention. There was a newspaper article, a TV coverage, and there was one particular individual, relatively young man. His name is Mr. Everett Tucker. He was sort of the face of the horse show. He ended up on the TV piece, which is on our YouTube channel, and he talked about how impactful these horses had been, how they'd changed his life, how he realized that even as he was getting ready to leave, hopeful that he would be leaving, this was back in November 2019, that he really hoped that horses would remain in his life. He thought he could build a new life around them. He could introduce his kids to them. And he was a story of hope. But that was, 11 months ago, 10 months ago? Well, here we were in the middle of COVID. And in my mind, I had remembered hearing that spring of 2020 was when Mr. Tucker would be getting close to getting out. So I remember calling the warden, and we're in pretty regular touch. Her name is Amy Roby. In mid-May, and I said, you know, I kind of recall that it was maybe May or June that Mr. Tucker was supposed to be getting close to getting out. And she said, well, it's funny you should call today. I just saw him last night, and he told me he's going in front of the parole board on June 2nd. I said, well, that sounds like it might be time to get our little machine, the wheels turning again. I said, do you know if he's still interested? You know, he was so passionate about this last November, but you know, life changes. So she said, I don't know. Why don't we just get him on the phone? So I'm talking to the warden. She does something with her phone system. And the next thing I know, Mr. Tucker is on the phone call with us. That was kind of a moment that I had never had before. And I just asked him a couple questions. I said, you know, Mr. Tucker, we've been thinking about you. Are you still interested in pursuing a job with horses? And he couldn't have been more clear that this is what he's holding out hope for. I said, well, if that's the case, there are people that we've met through the horse show that want to talk to you. We want to see if there's an opportunity for you, but we're going to need to get organized. You're going to need to put a resume together, and we're going to need to see if we can get an interview organized, even though you're still in prison. And most importantly, you're going to have to make it through your parole hearing, which is out of our control, but hopefully you're going to get it done. So that was, I think it was May 19th. I kind of remember the day, and the ball started turning. He apparently, after we hung up the phone, the social worker in the prison told the warden that he was in tears finding out that somebody, like some crazy woman in New York, cared enough to ask if he wanted to do this and actually wanted to help. I mean, I don't say that as a reflection on me, but just the collective community that wants to help these individuals find a second path. So anyway, I'll jump to the fact that here we were, May 19th, the folks at Blackburn are really great. They got his resume together. They set up a Zoom situation, which you don't really imagine that being something that is possible in prison. But sure enough, they found a way for Mr. Tucker to sit in front of his laptop, just like yours, Rick. And they even put it with some pipe and drape behind him and some flags. It looked very, very official. And we called on a farm that had been at the horse show that had expressed direct interest in him and said, He's heading out in June, early July at the latest. Would you like to talk to him again? They said, yes, let's do the Zoom interview. So on Monday, June 5th, he had a Zoom interview. I think the 5th was a Friday. He had the Zoom interview on Friday. They called back on Monday, the farm did, and offered him a job, verbal offer. That same week, he went before the parole board. He got his parole approved, which was huge. And by the end of the week, he had a written offer with salary, benefits, transportation. And here's the most fun thing, Rick, is that this is July 10th that we're talking. July 6th, Monday morning, was his release date from Blackburn. And on July 7th, he showed up at work at his new job at a farm called Spy Coast Farm in Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, isn't that great?
It's just great. I emailed Spy Coast that day. I said, I just want you all to know we're all thinking of you. It's not just me. It's this whole community and this committee we have that's very engaged at Blackburn. And I said, we just want to send our best wishes to everyone at Spy Coast who's giving Mr. Tucker a chance, and to him, that he make us all proud, that he show up every day and give it his best. And we got this beautiful note back saying that he is with the Young Horse Division, and he is proving to be a quick study, and the story continues.
Well, you know, it's probably good for the parole board and especially good for him, because a lot of prisoners get out of jail and they have nothing.
Yes.
They've got to look for a job. But he knew he had something lined up, and that must have made him feel really good and will make him, not only a better person, but right from the beginning, to have job and responsibility, it will keep, you know, so many people get out of jail and don't have any job lined up, so they just fall back into their own, into the traps.
Yep.
And not all of them,
nope.
But that is, you know, I'm sure that's a problem. So with this gentleman getting a job before he got out of prison, knowing, and like you said, it was in the field that he did while he was in prison, the TRF gave him the opportunity with that program. That has to be special for everybody.
There's a lot of pride. And I said, everyone deserves that feel-good feeling, because this did not happen through any one person or any one thing. It was a really a collective community effort. And it's about connecting the dots. It's about what you do for a living, right? Because you get people talking to each other. And that's what happened around this horse show. And it's something that we're really building on as we go forward. I'll save what we're going to do this year for another visit, because I always like to find myself a placeholder for another conversation.
And
but
you're always
But that all happened during COVID. So in the spirit of the things that good things happened even while the world was stopped, that is about my most vivid example that I've got.
And, you know, that... The TRF is such a wonderful organization all over the country. I would wish that a national news agency wouldn't pick this up for a feel-good story.
Yeah.
There's so much negative news.
Yes, there is.
Even without what's been going on lately, it seems like they never pick up on a good thing. Once in a while they do, but, you know, this is such a great program.
Yeah.
And it is dependent on volunteers.
Yep.
On donations.
Yep.
Because the clientele that you serve can't do any of that.
Yeah, right.
They can only stand there and look pretty.
They're really good at that. That is actually their strongest suit. Yes, I would say there are many things they do, but they cannot speak. Therefore, they cannot ask.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's volunteers who do so much work, as we've talked about on earlier shows. It is donors and supporters who contribute. And then it's ambassadors. And Rick, that's what you are. You're an ambassador. You help us tell our story. And that is... possibly the most important role of all, because we know that those who already support us are so wonderful, and they have really gotten us through COVID in an incredibly positive way. They've leaned in and been supportive, but for us to grow and to thrive in the future, it's going to be those new folks who've never heard of us, and that's where ambassadors really come in.
Oh, definitely, because there is such a huge horse-loving population that probably don't know anything about this.
Yes.
And you know, all they have to donate is $5.
Oh, yeah.
If you had a new 5,000 people all over the country that learned this for the first time and they donated $5 a piece,
I'd be a hero.
Look at that.
And you'd be my wingman.
but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but, you know, one of the things you mentioned with the people in the community that donate, will the effect of not having polo in the area anymore affect exposure at all, or doesn't that even?
Well, it's an interesting story. We this summer, like we will all say 1,000 times, will be unlike any other. So very specifically, one of our favorite things over the last couple of years has been our Saratoga Summer Farm, because it was a public, we were able to make our horses accessible. And due to COVID, public events and things are not happening like they would. So we're not officially doing our Saratoga Summer Farm. But last year we were at the Polo Barn, the Bloomfield Farm, right next to the Polo Fields. So without being a very direct answer, we're going to try, no confirmation as of this conversation, we are hoping to bring up a couple of our horses from Walk Hill back to Bloomfield Farm, which is still a Polo Farm, still a Polo Barn, and it actually houses the Skidmore Polo Team. And I think that my impression from them, because they're just polo people, they're going to play polo even if polo is not happening in Saratoga. I don't think that it's not great for the polo community, because, of course, it was great to have their own
season
yeah. right here. But it doesn't. It's sort of like if your tennis court got shut down, you'd just go find somewhere else to play tennis.
Sure.
I think that's what's really happening with polo. And for us, we're very grateful because we love that barn and we love working with the folks who are there. The Orthwines are very, very good to us. And so we hope we'll have that. And I don't think, to your question, it won't directly impact us.
Well, that's good. Cause,
yeah.
You know, it's sad because polo's been a part of Saratoga, for years.
Yeah.
And but like everything else, I mean, if it's not supported, it's not going to stay around long today, because everything's expensive, as you know.
Yeah.
And caring for the horses.
Yes, horses are.
Yeah.
They're not.
Let's move into, we talked a little bit about the fundraising, and you have a special one coming up, don't you?
We do. Well, everything's going to be a little different this year. We'll just say that again. And so actually, as of today, it was sort of a special day, knowing I was going to come in and speak with you. We decided to make this the day, July 10th, that we have officially launched what we are calling the TRF Drive-Thru Barbecue at the Barn. So this is what I call carry out with a twist. We've all done a lot of carry out. I'm imagining all your listeners, my husband and I certainly have, like once a week, we would say, let's pick a restaurant that we really love and let's go order and go pick up with our masks and our own pen. But so we've all done a lot of carry out and we figure we'll just carry that forward with our fundraiser. And we're also trying to, the goals of this are to really keep some fun in summer. It's an important part of summer. It's also to keep a little bit of momentum going, because last summer was the first year that we did the TRF barbecue at the barn. We hosted it at the beautiful Saratoga Winery. We were grateful for beautiful weather, sold out crowd, great food, good fun. And we had every plan to just double down and do that exact same party this year. Well, obviously life did not quite deal us those cards. So what we're doing is we're still at the Saratoga Winery. We love working with them.
And that's on Route 29.
Yeah, right out Route 29.
Just outside of Saratoga.
Beautiful spot. And they've been great to work with because they've been closed. All their staff been furloughed. And they still sort of kept responding to my crazy emails with my crazy ideas, which is, what if we did this? So here's my imagine this. The imagine this is that you drive out Route 29. It's a pretty drive.
And you're heading west outside of Saratoga.
Yeah, straight out west. You have put in your carryout order because you know with all these carryouts, they like to know when you're coming, and so you don't get stuck waiting there forever. So you'll drive out and you will arrive at your allotted time. You'll be greeted by one of our wonderful volunteers. They'll get your name and they'll say, "We're so glad you're here. Now welcome to the TRF drive-through experience." What that means is you're going to stay in your car because that'll keep you safe. Our volunteer will be wearing a mask. And you're going to drive around the winery grounds. And if you've been out there, you know that it's got a beautiful lawn, but the parking lots actually all go around behind that big yard. So it's all connected, and it's not a long drive. I'm thinking this might take you 10 minutes, maybe 15 if you go slow. But you're going to drive around the grounds, and you're going to experience some TRF fun. We're going to bring some miniature ponies. We're going to have a couple of our retired racehorses. We have some racing celebrities like Ramon Dominguez coming. We expect to maybe get another jockey or two, maybe an announcer that folks know in Saratoga. And we're going to make it a bit of a experience. The one thing I've often, as we were brainstorming this, we said, you know when you go at Christmas time and you get in your car, you drive around the golf course with all the holiday lights, and they're on both sides, and you kind of ooh and you kind of ah, and then it's over. And it usually was for charity. Well, that's exactly what we're doing at the winery. It's just going to have a very horsey theme. And at the end, you will be greeted by another volunteer who will have your bag of goodies. You'll be able to partake of barbecue, which is being provided by Barnsider Barbecue of Lake George. They've been great to work with. If you feel like it, you could order a specialty cocktail that's being prepared by the winery. It's going to come in a little mason jar. And if you're really feeling indulgent, you're going to pick up a pie or two from Morning Kill Bakery. We'll have three different yummy flavors. And all those things will be bundled up for you. And we'll have a goodie bag, too, a goodie bag from all of our sponsors that'll send you off to enjoy your barbecue at home. And you will have at least had a little more of an experience than your average carry out. So
that's pretty neat.
That's our plan. We'll see. We'll see. And now, we hope folks join us.
Also, people can purchase donate to different things.
Sure. So you don't have to be present to participate. You can be out there in California. You can buy a couple bales of hay for the horses. You can buy a bag of grain for the horses. Or maybe you just want a little TRF swag. We have a picnic bundle. We thought that kind of went with the drive-through feeling, is you could get a picnic blanket and a tote. So those things are available to everyone. And it really just keeps our horses in everybody's hearts. We do want to just above all raise some visibility, raise some dollars, and have some fun, because we do need to have that at this time of year.
Sure. Now, when would you like, now this is, the event is on August 11th.
Yep.
From 4 to 7. Now, when would you like orders called in by?
Yes. We have set the date of noon on Friday, August 7th.
Okay, August 7th.
Because then we have plenty of time. Nobody will be disgruntled. And it's also the day before the Traverse. So we figure everyone will be busy Traverse Day.
Oh, you got it. At that point, when you call for your reservation, they'll give you a time that you can pick up your
Pack. It's all being done through our website. Good. And this is all launched on our website, which is TRFINC.com. org, and you'll go under events and it's right there. But when you order, you'll pick your time. So it'll be in half hour increments, and then you'll know when to come.
Excellent. I mean, that's going to be a great, great thing. And like you said, with the Traverse being a different day this year, it'll be a the Traverse weekend kickoff.
Yes. You know? Yeah. I mean, you can order your barbecue before the Traverse. Okay, and then,
that's right.
And then on Tuesday, there are other pieces of this which are all kind of coming together. We found a way to do raffle baskets online so that you can buy your tickets through an online link and put them in the basket. And what we thought we'll do is that same day, maybe 9 o'clock that night on the 11th, we'll do a Facebook Live event where we can draw the winners of the raffle and also say thank you to our sponsors and just say thanks for joining us for our That'd creative interpretation neat. Of a barbecue.
That's right. And who knows, maybe you could have a fundraiser in the following years, two in the same week, one online and one in person again, like when we get back to normal.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's so many, we've had to adapt so much. This season that some of the things I think will carry over now into our lives for the future.
I do too. You know. I think two of my favorite words throughout this whole journey have been how important creativity and resilience have become to all of us.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, this is off of the track a little bit, but back during the flu back in 1918. Mm. Imagine, I think it was a little worse than it is now with COVID, but they didn't have all the technology and all the things that we have today, and businesses didn't have the means for just takeout to help sustain them, not that it could carry them 100% over, but and they came out of that okay, and they learned things from that. And today, I mean, with all the conveniences we have today, I feel bad for the people and the families that had gotten COVID and lost family members from COVID, but we certainly found out how to avoid spreading it more than they did back at the Spanish flu type.
Sure.
And so, you know, like I say, we learn things, you adapt, and then you carry some of the best things over in your life on how to do things.
That's the choice we have, is we're dealt a set of cards and we have to choose what to do with them. So
Exactly. Well, I think, too, you know, like the TRF, I mean, organizations like that and businesses could still function. They didn't have to shut down. Well, some had to shut down completely, but the world didn't have to stop.
Yeah,
people could work from home. Restaurants could still offer takeout. And like you said, we did that ourselves. You pick a restaurant that you want to support, and you order takeout once a week. And I know, I mean, this wasn't just in Saratoga. This was all over.
Yeah.
And it made it nice because you could still keep in contact with, you know, the restaurant and things. So adaptation, if that's a word.
Yes,
is one of the best things we learned through this.
And humans are amazing at doing it, really. We may not enjoy it, but we are good at it. We change, we evolve, and we learn.
And sometimes because you have to, then you find out, gee, it's not so bad having to do things this way, you know. But so what else have you got? I know I don't want to get too far into the year because you'll be back on again, but since we can't go to the track, and unfortunately, we can't even get on the grounds of Naira property unless you're a trainer or a backstretch worker or an outrider, and probably soon to be owners will be able to go and watch their horses run. I know it affects us personally to be there and not socialize, but... I mean, and I know you've put some pictures up on Facebook through the fences.
Yeah, I love the fence. I'm a rail bird these days. But you know, we are continuing that creativity with what are we going to do this summer? I mean, the truth is, it will be very different. There will not be as many people coming to town as normal. But for us being part of the racing industry, a lot of people that we do love and work with all the time, I mean, they're still coming. They are the trainers. They are the riders. They are some of the media folks. They're the folks who work for NYRA. And so, you know, we're looking forward to seeing them, even if we have to do that in a socially distant way in a backyard barbecue and or sitting on East Avenue socially distant with our chairs and our masks. But honestly, we're still getting a little taste of that. So what we think just for the TRF is we want to be as visible as we can be. And I think, once again, there's an opportunity here to really spend more time with our local community. Because Saratogians are awesome, and you and I are two of them, but we are talking to a lot more of them on this podcast. So the fact that we can be visible to the home crowd is going to be really a wonderful opportunity for the TRF. And we're going to do that by mostly being everywhere racing is shown, and it will be shown a lot of places. So one example is that Prime out at Saratoga National, they're doing watch party. You buy a table and it has a little bit of your food bill included, but we're going to be a sponsor out there every Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
We'll have volunteers sitting at that table selling our new TRF masks. I was wearing my TRF mask when I walked in to see Rick. And we'll be there with our information about the barbecue. We'll be out there just educating people. Mm-hmm. And so that's one example. We're also going to do a fun thing at Walton Whitman. We love those folks too. They love horses and they're having our first watch party will be on July 24th, which is the Quick Call Stakes race. Okay. And Quick Call is he was with us a very long time. We lost him in the fall, but he was with us for nearly 25 years. And his race day is the 24th. So Walton Whitman's going to do a little fundraiser event for us there while people are watching the races. Mm-hmm. So I think that I would also put that out to your wonderful audience that if there's places that you know that are gathering to watch the races and they might have an extra corner where a little TRF table would fit, we just want to be out there to talk to people and keep the flag flying.
The Saratogian had a list of restaurants that were going to do that.
And
I can go back because I get it online. I can go back and get the list for you. Like I know the Muson House is one.
Oh, I love the Muson House.
Yeah, and the West Side Stadium.
Yes.
They're doing it. They had maybe six or seven.
Oh, good.
Of the area, in the area that we're having watch good. Parties.
I think that will be the way of the world.
Yeah.
Because the beauty of having, if you do want to be handicapping, you can do your NYRA bets and you can see everything and do everything.
Yeah.
And really, it's more that sense of community is you want to all hear who's cheering for what horse as they come down the stretch.
And well, exactly. And you know what? The funny thing about, here again, technology. The handle of that Belmont was 100% up over last year.
Wow.
On a lot of days.
Yep.
Now some days it was 75%, but they said now the only day that it wasn't up
was Belmont Day. Yeah. Because it was just such a weird day, June 20th. Who thinks of Belmont
exactly.
being that day? Yeah,
but I mean every other day. So people do bet.
Yes,
and I think there's a larger percentage of people now that even that go to the track that bet with NYRA bets.
Yeah,
because I mean they've got the machines all over and people can bet on their phone.
Yeah,
so you can still bet.
Yeah.
The races. So, you know,
it'll
be a fun summer.
It'll be a fun summer. That's what we will do. We will be as out and about in a safe, proper way as we can. One other little event I'd throw out there is this is the sort of thing we love. It's these ambassadors like you, Rick. So I would say that Will Krager at Walton Whitman is an ambassador. He wrote me yesterday saying, we're thinking of this thing for July 24th. We would just love to make it as a fundraiser for the TRF and we'll contribute, you know, percentage of bar bill. And he'd thought about this whole thing and then just presented it to us. I mean, what a gift. Another example is our friends at Racing City Brewing Company, where we do a lot of our volunteer gatherings. They have some great space, lots of space to make sure that everybody is suitably distant. We're going to host a used tack sale out there on the 17th and 18th on opening weekend. Debreen and Tony have tons of space and they've allocated an area. Our volunteers will be a big part of this. And it's just a way for us, frankly, to clean out our offices, which are full of things at this point, buckets and halters and brushes, and have some horsey people come see us, talk to us, and if they want to drop off a buck and buy a new brush or an old brush,
sure,
it's great. And so, you know, these kind of things where people are saying, why don't we raise the flag for you. We're just very gratified, and yeah, we will say yes to every single thing that comes our way.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Well, I'll send you that list.
But oh, please do.
One of the things, just this is off of the TRF now, but one of the funny things about allowing owners on the track. All right, now you take Travers is going to be a big this year, yeah, because it is the law.
Yes,
which is not only a local horse, but it won the Kentucky Derby, and it's in line.
Won the Belmont.
The favorites for it, the or won
it
the
felt
Belmont,
like the Kentucky Derby.
And, yeah, really. And it's in the top to yes, win the Triple Crown. Now, that horse has 37 owners.
Yes.
So will they allow the owners of the horses in at 37?
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge.
It is going to be a challenge because, as we know today, there are very few horses that are owned by one stable, yeah, like yeah, it used to be. I mean, you never heard of multi-owner
no,
horses.
No, we're just a modern era sort of thing.
Modern era, and the, with the expense, you know, they have their syndicates,
yeah,
and some are small and some are large.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yes, because, it is.
I don't think you're going to, with social distancing and how they think they're going to do it, you're not going to be close to each other. And
yeah,
it's going to be fun. It's yeah, going to be funny.
No, it's fun to have our local hometown horse yeah, be such a star this year. That's for sure.
Again, yes. One of the things I was going to say when you were talking about it's going to be a great season for racing in Saratoga, it's going to be a little bit easier to get around town.
That's
too.
True. That's true. Parking may not be quite such a challenge.
Exactly. Oh. And maybe they'll shorten the race day so that the restaurants can have
that
their
third
first
seating.
Yeah,
yeah, that's yeah, right. Or the first, I guess you're right.
Yeah, like right, that's what they miss out on.
Yep.
But anyway, it'll all work out as everything else did.
We'll make our way. Exactly. We'll make our way, and we'll just keep smiling as
that's
you do
right,
so well, Rick.
Well, hey, you know, you have to, and some people say if you do it too much, you're crazy. But anyway.
Well, that might be both of you and I.
Anyway, anything else that you would like to talk about, Kim?
Oh, gosh. Well, no, not because I want you to be able to invite me back again. It's just such a pleasure to be here, to chat with you, to talk with your audience about the horses and the joy they bring us and the fun that they give us, and that's what this is all about.
With the summer this year of not working at the track, and we have a little more time, maybe we can be on again over the summer and talk about the TRF and the places you have been and the places you will be going at.
Yeah.
And how the races are going and stuff. We can have enough to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We seem to always find something.
That's right. All right. Well, Kim, thanks a lot. I appreciate you being here as always. It's great to see you. It's been since March. And that's usually a long time for the two of us.
Yes, it is.
To
yes, too long.
Somehow.
Let's not do
that's
that
right,
again.
I know. All right. Well, listen, you have a good summer. We'll have you back over the summer and continued success with the TRF. Okay.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here. You have a good summer, too.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.